You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Jimena Velarde Alvarez. Jimena, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thank you for having me.
Jimena, we're going to talk about your show, of course, which I'm really looking forward to. Talking about your show at Margot Sammel, La Sombra del Tiempo, and let's jump right into this. There's so much that I want to ask you about this show, but I feel like I'd like to start with the texts that are in this show. And this show is full of images that we're going to get into soon, imagery, and of course it's running through August 28th of this year, so listeners should go see it if they can. But let's talk about the text pieces in the show. They're layers and layers of text, right, that is unlike other things in there, although I know it relates. Can you tell me a little bit about those? Because that seems to be somehow at once very personal and also something we can't quite access as viewers.
Yeah, I was actually thinking exactly about that, the inaccessible personal layers of things, but this piece kind of started as a series where I was going through my personal diary entries and kind of reflecting about just experience and how things shift over time and trying to kind of dig deeper into myself and how I see things, and not only to understand, but also to make visible certain patterns and whatnot. And the process of layering seemed kind of natural to just kind of erase, but also show in the legibility as kind of the main thing that is seen. And then for this piece, I decided to add some petals on top, kind of being blown away by the wind. And I was thinking sort of how words are also so ephemeral, and the self is so ephemeral, and how we exist on the world and on the page, it's just constantly changing. And oftentimes we don't really see the process of change unless we look back at a faraway time. The immediacy of it is kind of inaccessible.
Yeah, and even what you said is sort of, it's a little mysterious, right? So this is very personal writing. The writing has a specific content, though, right? And I'm not asking you to reveal that, but you're being, intentionally somewhat vague about what's in there. This is very specific writing that we're not accessing, but it does relate to your process here, right? And we'll talk about imagery more soon, but just to talk about process, there's thoughts here, there's something diaristic, and there's also, it seems to be a journey. So again, in that writing, that's layers, that's unreadable. Is that part of what's happening there? You're kind of thinking before or during the making of these works?
Yeah, I definitely don't want the text to be readable. They are very personal diary entries, and I usually choose like these chunks of time that have been especially like meaningful or transformative for me, be it personal relationships, heartbreak, or also like internal things. But it's definitely text that if I'm writing, I do not want the other to be able to see it, but I guess the medium kind of allows for that to be the outcome.
And let's talk about the works of the show. We're looking through windows, doorways, shadows. There's almost a kind of noir aspect to this, a sort of film noir. It's kind of wonderfully sensual, the black and white, the figures. But it feels like it can read both as a kind of haunting almost, or as something deeply personal and an encounter or something else, right? I found the imagery somewhat liberating too. There's doorways open, there's windows open, there's places to go through. Let's just talk about the imagery in this show before we get into individual works. because there's something consistent happening through here that runs through the writing, I imagine, but this is imagery you come back to. Can you just tell me about the symbolism, I imagine, of the windows, doors, shadows?
I guess with the rooms, I kind of, well, first of all, the scale. I guess what I think of the first time I worked this big, I was working with this idea of leaning on a doorway and looking at someone you love and but being at this distance, and kind of like the accumulation of the self in this certain space is kind of what prompted this exploration with the shadow, and then it kind of it developed because I when I had this idea, it felt only natural to make it life-size, and I wanted like the relationship of the door to be completely exact to the door I was referencing, and the same with the body. I want it to be my exact height and what and these other aspects of the painting. But then I was thinking about the room as this place where one is the personal and the private self is revealed. But more recently, I kind of feel more drawn to the atmospheric quality of a room. There was, as I was investigating atmosphere and architecture, I came across Sumathor, this writer that is an architect, and he said this thing about how he was looking at this specific room and kind of played this game in his head where he would remove an object and imagine how the feeling of the room would change as well. And that really resonated with me because I feel like with these rooms, I'm most of the time constructing them, thinking about the source of light, kind of the idea of illumination, but also for the most part, the light is far away and one is found in like the shadow, and the self is also kind of a shadow, but I guess the window and they're all kind of a portals or umbrales, like they're these in-between places where at least in a window you like see the reflection of yourself, and it's always a lone figure because I'm thinking of these moments of encounter with oneself, and I guess the rooms kind of expand on that, but I feel like the figure there is more sedimented into the architecture and kind of how one leaves traces of themselves in people, in spaces, in memory, and also how memory works now, and it kind of reveals the form of things over time.
That's so interesting. Thanks for sharing that. When you talk about the shadow and the self, this sounds kind of Jungian. Is that part of what you're drawing on as well? A kind of Jungian or other type of psychological process of self-discovery or self-mastery?
Yeah, I definitely like Jung and have read some of him, although that's literally something I have pending post-show that I want to read. But I think for the most part, my exploration on the self has been more from personal experience and delving into questions I ask myself and where my reflections bring me. But I guess I think about the self as oftentimes a way we see the other person, a reflection of our inner world is kind of how we absorb the outer world. And I'm mostly interested in self-investigation, sort of as this kind of dissecting or understanding and kind of this hope to, I don't know, it's funny that this word comes to mind, but this hope to become kind of like see-through, and see through how things like pass through us, no? And kind of be more open and receptive to things changing and allowing this permeability.
I like that idea of see-through or permeability. You're talking about things moving through you, right? Not so much that obviously the viewer can see through you, but the idea of experiences, worlds, spirits, or other entities moving through you bodily and kind of psychically. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I would say so, yeah.
And there's two works in the show that have, they're sculptural, that have two door handles on them, only they're missing the door handles. They're the plates for the door handles. And it looks like there's slightly different colors. Can you tell me about these? This feels sort of like the opposite of kind of moving through, right? The spaces in all of these, you can just walk right into them. And like you said, they're scale. You know, it has an architectural element to it.
Mm-hmm.
So many of the works really feel that, you know, these are accessible because of the scale, that these are worlds we can walk into. These two blocks with the doorknob plates feel like something else. Can you tell me about them? They're a pair that look like they belong together.
Yeah. I guess for how these were born was kind of I found these plates that were just beautifully ornamented, and I was really drawn to them and knew I wanted to do something with them when I was in college. And then I kind of was brainstorming the themes for my work then, and came across how these could work in the world of privacy and looking into someone's interior world, or looking into peeking inside a specific moment. And so I wanted to fully enclose them and have them become the keyhole, kind of the way one can see inside the work. And so
and
that's kind
and
of
there's
what
two different keyholes, though. The keyholes are of two different colors, right? So there's two different versions of how someone could potentially see inside the work in these keyholes.
I think maybe it's the image we sent you. They are slightly different because they were found at the same store, but they were not from the same source. But the shadow box is it has a drawing to the back, and it's interior lit, so that glow kind of is from the lighting.
I see. Yeah, that's exciting. Mm-hmm. So there's this. There's a voyeuristic aspect to that too, and that brings me to the other works. There's one of a window, right? I mean, there's more than one, but just to speak of one that has a window in it, a staircase in the background, the figure that's shadowed in there. Let's talk about this one, because here's another one that feels like you are standing right in front of an actual window looking into a space. So there's this illusion of space, and it feels like the viewer is reflected in the window, or there could be somebody inside there. But there's also what looks like a blank canvas in there. Let's talk about this a little bit, because this feels so evocative of that kind of voyeuristic feeling of looking into a window and wondering what is happening in there, and at the same time not being able to see what happens in there. There's just so many layers to this that I really love. Let's talk about that one a little bit.
Yeah, I guess for this one, I kind of was thinking of placing the shadow kind of where and the figure now in the height of someone standing in front of it. I was definitely thinking about how it would interact with the viewer. And when I use the shadow, I also hope that it doesn't necessarily just evoke my personal self, but rather the idea of the self, and kind of just also maybe the viewer kind of seeing the reflection on the canvas is what I was going for with this window. But yeah, I like the tension and the idea of not knowing if the figure is outside the window, if it's inside, but in my imagination, it's someone alone in this room and kind of this atmospheric quality of space and air dissolving in and out of the figure and yeah, like hints of the stairs. You are kind of grounded in a place, but you don't know where it is. And I'm interested in that instability of not being able to exactly place something to a specific moment, but more so letting it open up to become a more metaphorical read on the space, like a window into how you see something, or a window as a moment where you you have an experience that opens up another way of seeing things. Yeah,
that's certainly how it feels. And when you talk about another very large work, there's a piece that's a doorway, a rectangular doorway that leads into an arch that has then a white doorway at the end. And again, this is hung in such a way that it feels like you can walk right into it. There's a at least for me, this sense of another world, or almost something magical, right? We're dealing with architectural space, but in a very specific and unique way, right? You reference that writer who's an architect, as I understand, or an architectural theorist, and these works have a kind of tension about that, right? That these are spaces that feel like we can move into. And of course, painting is often about that, right? These spaces that you can enter into to different extents. But yours, of course, are actual spaces that were they photographed without the floor or the wall, or if we weren't in the gallery, it would seem like a space we could actually inhabit.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that tension, because there is an almost... I don't know why the word comes to mind, but like a kind of Narnia-like tension. That if I open this door, I can just enter into this almost magical world. And is that part of your intention in making these scale, human scale?
Yeah, I've always been so drawn to the idea of life size. It's something that really excites me, or started to excite me when I started thinking about, like, oh, you can literally, like, do any size of painting, and it can be exactly the size as what's in front of you, you know? And Trompe l'Oeil really was really exciting when I found out about it, and this kind of converges at the idea of... I think a lot of the works are kind of framed, and... The doorway kind of framing this specific moment and a specific shape in the room. It kind of like frames a possibility or a moment of where you're looking at something very specific and you are attentive to just that space. So I really think of it as kind of this this place that you ideally can walk into, but also it's a more metaphorical walking into, and you are like in doors, oftentimes, at least in what I've been researching, kind of reference this idea of a different path you can take, and I like that thought, but also I like the relationships between the rooms to be kind of the light source, as I said, being towards the back, and it makes me think about this kind of like search for light, and I guess in this specific room I wanted the light source to be much bigger than what I've worked with in the past. And that's kind of what prompted the rectangular form. But then the rooms kind of, they come without necessarily planning every detail of them. And this room just kind of like happened naturally. I wasn't really sure what was going to happen with it until I painted that bright colored light, and then suddenly everything started clicking. And yeah, once I had the floorboards, I start kind of feeling more this entering and this flow of almost air from the room and from oneself. And yeah, like the directionality of the floorboards is often what makes a painting feel like, oh, this is like starting to become this sort of space of interiority, or this space where I can go into and just kind of be in attention to the specific details and to color the subtle shifts and kind of open up this moment of attention.
Thanks so much. And of course, just to encourage listeners again to go see the show before the end of August the 28th. I want to ask you one more question before we go a little off topic. What are you reading at the moment?
Right now, I'm actually reading The Order of Time by Carlo Rovelli. And I guess it's been a really like great read for the end of the show, where a lot of my ideas sort of started to like resonate with what the book is saying, and these ideas of looking at time as not something linear. And it really excites me to keep investigating time and its echoes and the different ways it happens for every person specifically. And yeah, I guess in parallel, I'm also always reading some poetry. And right now, I'm specifically reading Blanca Varela, which is a Peruvian poet. And it's been just so great to read by a voice that feels personal and sort of like a mirror of many things I think about. And to think that someone wrote that so far back in the past, I don't know, this kind of like going through reading something very about physics and metaphysics and space and time to something as expansive as poetry, they feel almost like related to each other. Yeah, they kind of both help the paintings grow in different ways.
I like that so much. Jimena, thank you so much for talking with me today. It's been a pleasure talking, and I wish you well with your show.
Thank you, Brainerd. I appreciate your time today.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.